Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Boom. Welcome to Grown Dad Business. This is Aaron Kleiber. I'm here in the dad cave watching Pittsburgh Penguins hockey with Jason Clark.
Pew, pew, pew.
It's pew, pew, pew now?
This week it's pew, pew, all pew.
Right. And I'm also here with comedian and dad Jeff Conkle is here. Chunk, chunk.
Boom.
How about a shotgun for that?
Oh,
oh, little chunk, chunk. That's a thick shotgun.
Yeah, I would go to
5-inch barrel shotgun,
sawed off possibly.
Yeah, we're here chatting with Jeff Conkle today, and I don't know what we're going to talk about. I'm really not sure.
I do know that Jeff is having his second child.
Oh shit! There's the topic.
There's the topic.
Deuce. One kid, two kid, three kid. I have three. Jason has two. We're going to score Jeff today.
We're about to hit for the cycle here.
Yeah, dude.
A single, a double, and a triple.
Yeah, man. We're going to have a full hockey team. Speaking of playoff hockey, let's go Pens, hashtag. This week on Grown Dad Business.
Grown Dad Business with Aaron Kleiber. That's my dad.
Hello. Underpants?
That is hilarious.
Shut your mouth, dude.
Great interview. This podcast, while my daddy will go into a deep depression.
Going down business with Aaron Kleiber.
And boom. Welcome to Grown Dad Business. Real quick, brought to you by our friends at Dad Gear, dadgear.com. And Mary Mac Bakehouse. Oh, thank you so much. Last week, we did our Dad Bod. Dad Bod episode was before?
Yeah.
Which one is it released? Yeah, sure. Yeah. we did our Dad Bod episode as I'm pimping out cinnamon rolls from Mary Mac Bakehouse.
It's promoting Dad Bod, isn't it?
Yeah, we are promoting
Dad Bod.
We got
to get you on the Dad Bod so that you understand the content of what we're talking about.
Jeff is a comedian friend in Pittsburgh. I've always said, this is the compliment round of the show.
Oh, okay.
I've always said that, and I've said this to you before, that I've always felt like Jeff was the best comic in Pittsburgh. And, when I was coming up, I was just thankful that Jeff had a day job, a good enough day job to not take comedy past a hobby, which is spectacular because then that got us all more work. None of us had a good job.
Thank you for the compliment. That is very nice.
As compliments from Aaron Kleiber go, that was a good compliment.
That was
good.
I compliment everybody.
I do.
Okay.
The compliment was, if he did have a day job, I would crush him.
I would, yeah.
Thank God. Thank God for his sake.
Can you imagine his life would be?
What I would have done to him?
He would lose his home.
Who, me?
He's sitting in the back going,
no, I'm just,
if he
I'm
came
just,
out and went, I would just.
It kind of left a hole in the line open. You know what I mean?
The power vacuum.
Right. The run through. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Since Jeff Conkle, wasn't going full bore like some of us with stand-up comedy, and that's spectacular. What I'm saying is, if you actually put 100% into comedy, we would all just be looking up to you, and that's what I think.
Thanks.
I really do.
That is very nice.
So now do you just regret your children?
Okay, that's the real question. Do you regret your wife, your job, and your child?
No. No, I was actually telling somebody the other day, I was like, I felt like comedy fulfilled something for me at that time in my life when I started, and maybe it was a need for attention or whatever it was, but now that I have a kid, I'm starting to feel like, I need comedy less. I still want to do it. I still like to do it, but I don't. I feel like I don't need it quite as much. Right. Does that make sense? I don't know.
Where were you at in your life when you started?
Totally single.
Totally single.
No dating. No. Of course. Yeah. In fact, I don't even know what the hell I was doing. Yeah. What was I doing with all my time?
Yeah. What were you doing?
I don't know, because, like, I still feel like I get like 2 hours to my, you know, to screw what, around in my life now.
How old were you when you started comedy?
22.
I started when I was 28. Oh my gosh. I started stand-up comedy when I was married and had a 6-month-old baby.
I know.
That's really dumb.
I don't know how, because...
But that kicked me in the ass, though. I tell everybody that's what it did. Yeah. That's what it does. Yeah. It really does.
Well, probably the biggest fights that I've ever had with my wife were kind of surrounding comedy and how much attention I was giving to it at that point and everything like that. And part of my counter-argument was, you know, when you met me, I was doing this. And I was doing it a lot more than it is. Yeah. But now, as I've grown older, it was, you know, you have to pick your battles because you do have a living human being with emotions that responds to you and loves you and everything like that. And you can't be...
Your wife. You're talking about your wife.
I'm talking about my wife, obviously.
Yeah.
But you have to prioritize things, and sometimes going out to an open mic on Tuesday to have 3 beers, you have to be honest with yourself and say, am I doing this because for my craft, or is it because I'm bored?
I know. Or it's like, is my wife is sitting at home with an 8-month-old baby, 9-month-old baby, year old baby, you know, I have an excuse to just go leave.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, you can't do that.
Right.
Like, that's, you know.
There has to be a purpose.
But at the same time, the purpose was you being able to provide.
Yeah.
I mean, that was...
I think you know, having a 6-month-old child immediately makes you be like, oh yeah, I gotta make money at this. Like, I gotta
see. That was a different dynamic for me because, like you said, I had a day job, so really it was a hobby. Yeah. So I couldn't pull the, you know, this is putting food on the table. I need to get better at it so I can put more food on the table. It's food's taken care of. This is basically me going down to the basement to play with my trains.
Yeah.
And that's what I'll say to people when they'll ask me about why would I even venture doing this,
right?
Like, what I do. And, you know, it's just like some guys go and open the hood up and take the car apart and put it back together again.
Yeah.
And that's their release. That's their, that's their ability to... And for us, it's just, you want to just go.
I read something about the they called it the disappearance of the second place. And they said, or the second place was essentially outside of work. It was a place that you went to. It was a bar. It was a VFW.
Sure.
It was a social club or anything like that. Now people don't have that
anymore.
That's
why they're all closing now.
Yeah. So, but they said that served an important thing because you got out into the community, and whether it's church or what, you know, whatever it is now, but it's just somewhere else that you expand your world just a little bit as opposed to just work and then back to your house.
Right.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We talk about that all the time. I think, I mean, when you equated that to saying sometimes for individuals, it's their church.
Absolutely.
It's their opportunity to have a social life and get outside of the work and outside of family. It's an opportunity to get out and have that social
life. That's one thing I see now as being a former youth pastor. I say that with a grin because it's so silly at this point.
Seems like a long time ago.
But I see, like, at Arcade Comedy Theater in Pittsburgh, you just see that, like, oh, this is their church.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's their... Right. This is where they tithe, they give their time,
this
they
is their Monday
get
night
meaning.
Bingo.
Yeah. They, yeah, this is their... Absolutely. It gives them meaning in their life.
I mean, it's the same thing when you walk into an open mic and there's 50 people on the list.
Yeah.
At a bar on a Thursday.
I know.
And you're sitting there looking at these names and you're thinking about... What's their end game? Like, what are we looking
right?
Well, that's the other dynamic for me was that when I started, I made some really, really great friends. I had a comedy class, like pretty much everybody always has a comedy class. Like, you had Palumbo, I think, was starting right when you did. I don't remember who.
Oh, him and I started the same week.
Same week.
Same night.
But like me, it was Terry Jones had been doing it for like a couple months before I did. Bill Crawford was already on the scene, but it was like T-Robe, Mike Wysocki, and they were maybe a little bit ahead of me.
All great, like, local Pittsburgh comics.
But now, I was telling Terry this the other day, is that as we've all started to grow, and most of us have been doing it for 10 years, now we're not even on the same shows anymore because everyone's like headlining or, you know, doing things. So no one's on the same show, so you don't get to hang out. You don't get that same sense of camaraderie.
Right.
And it's hard to manufacture that with another group of people now.
Right.
Like, there's a bunch of young guys and girls now that I don't think – I'd love to feel the same sense of camaraderie with them, but I just don't think that I'll ever – get there. True, yeah, we're not going to go through the same battles at this point. We're not going to the open mics above the bowling alleys and all that kind of stuff. Those experiences.
But you still you've been getting out. I mean, you still get out. You still get to do some comedy.
Yeah.
And now you have a second child on the way.
Yeah, bun in the oven.
How far?
4 months. So I got September as a due date.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
so yeah.
I still got a little bit.
Oh, I feel so bad. Your wife's got to go through July and August.
She wanted to. She had a winter baby last time. She wanted to.
Okay. Okay.
I agree.
I'm going to ask you in August.
I
because my wife had two summer pregnancies. Well, our first one was born June 24th, but it was still warm enough.
Right.
But my son was born September 13th. Yeah. So, like, I mean, that July and August was hell for her.
Well, she's...
I mean, it was just... I mean, she was never cool enough.
She's struggling now. And I'm like, we are not even at the halfway point now.
Look,
like,
it's
we
70,
got a long
it's,
way to go.
It's 75 degrees at Easter. July and August is going to be 95, 100.
That's why I'm telling you, I am in some hardcore nesting phase right now. That's why I've ripped out my entire garage in the last week, and I'm doing that all because I know that I'm going to have to start helping a lot.
He's already pulling some dad moves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You create
drywall. R value, baby. R value. You got to get that R value up.
Oh, man.
You definitely, like right now, like we're in my, what I call my dad cave, because I live in a 3-bedroom ranch, and which is why I just bought a 4-bedroom, 2-acre house, because you have to get away sometimes. You have to. And I know right now it's just like, it's just me and my pretty wife and my one little baby.
Oh,
dude. Like, we were laughing because, like, it's like as one as it takes like a team of you to handle one. And you were saying like you're like a pit crew.
Yeah, I say that at this point, you know, my son's 2 years old. We have caring for him down to a flow chart. I mean, every decision is no problem. I handled this before. He reacts a certain way. Yep. We got it squared away. And now we've just mastered one thing. And
right.
Now it's time to take
and it's
on
like,
something
And it's
else.
Like you're going to get used to that and doing that. And then the second one, you're handling the new baby and you turn around and the other baby has like, you know, a magic marker on the refrigerator and a whole open container of
diesel,
a gallon of milk. And you're like, why? Where did you even get that? And you're going to be amazed how many things kids could do in 2 seconds. Because you're going to turn your back a lot for the new baby. And you're going to turn around and your son, you're like, how are you butt naked already? Mm-hmm. Like, how did you take all your clothes off in a second and a half?
Let me ask you this. So, like, with the first kid,
we have showered
with attention. I mean, he's a little... Yes. I told my wife, I was like, he's going to be a comedian because he can't stand when someone's not looking at him. Like, he has to do something to have him.
He'll learn the hard way.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, so when the second... You guys would know better than me. When that second kid comes around, how do you divide your attention up? Is it just on who's on fire, you know, basically?
See, and typical for us, because we're... Like, mine all happened at a different stage. So, obviously, as we said, you know, my daughter's 22, JC's 17. So, she was 5.
Like, so, she could get her own cereal.
She was making scrambled
eggs. Super excited.
She was making scrambled eggs, and she was, you know, I'm the big sister, and she pushed the stroller. So, my experience with my kids as far as division of time, she was part of the Army.
Right.
Yeah.
She
was
down for that, you know, until he was able to walk and talk, and then she's like, I don't want anything to do with him anymore.
Yeah,
we've been slowly peppering in like baby talk and let's see, you know, oh, you're ready to have a baby, are you excited to have a baby, like trying to do that type of thing. He's 2.
Oh, okay.
So,
and actually you're right on with that. That's actually, and I'm taking all of this knowledge not from me but from my wife, who's has a degree in early children's education and development, so I've learned from her. But like what she's really good at, I forgot what I was going to say because we're actually watching Pittsburgh Penguins playoff hockey.
Focus.
What I was going to say was that she did a really good job of including my son.
In the process.
Like saying, like, making sure he's excited and making sure that he's...
Do you want to help?
Aren't you going to be ready? Aren't you going to be a big brother? Like, almost like giving him something to also look forward to having. Mm-hmm. Now our daughter was a little bit older too when we had our third one here, so she was like exactly how your daughter
was. She's been through this.
She's a helper. She's awesome. Mm-hmm. We call her Little Mama. Like she's just great. Not the hip hop Little Mama.
No.
But yeah, dude, it's gonna be an adjustment. There's gonna be, I'd say, at least 6 months of him like, yo, what the fuck? Like,
yeah.
He's gonna be angry. Yeah. And you're gonna see him. And I know it's gonna happen. And you're gonna be like, you told the future. No, it's just gonna happen. He's gonna do things that you've never seen him do before, and you're like, dude, what the f? Like, why would you just...
Because he's grabbing for that.
Yeah. Why would you just throw a pizza on the floor? You little asshole. Like, you'll just be like, wait, where's this coming from? You know? And then you find yourself over here with this baby, and you're like, oh, wait, this is where that's coming from.
Can I tell you,
you know what I mean?
Can I tell you my guilty thought? I'll tell you my guilty thought that I had with my first kid, and then the guilty thought that I'm having now that my wife's pregnant again. My first guilty thought when we were having... our first kid was I was really just concerned that I wasn't going to connect with him, like that I wasn't going to like love him or whatever it was.
Right.
But of course that all changed, but I was just worried about it. Now I'm worried that I have such a good situation. I love having my son. I kind of like the situation that we're in. I'm almost looking at the second kid like a little bit of a disruptor.
Right.
Like, you know, like someone who's going to come in and kind of turn my nice little world on its
absolutely.
Head, and I feel guilty for thinking that, but I don't know if it's avoidable or not.
No, it's just, it's going to happen. Like, it is kind of like, man, this is nice, and you're like, oh, shit,
here
it's going to get real. It's going to get, yeah.
Yeah, and it's...
But it changes. You find that space again.
It becomes, it's so natural. Like, I don't know, going through it, I looked at my wife, and I just said, God damn it, like... We had no clue what we were doing. Like,
I just pictured you grabbing Melissa's face and going, God damn it.
No, there's no. I mean, it was a partnership. I mean, we understood, like, but I didn't have a clue. Like, who are you relying on? Your parents to teach you this shit? My parents weren't teaching me jack.
Right.
Like, it wasn't a discussion that was ever had. And I didn't go to books. I mean, listen, we're talking 20 years ago, man. I wasn't dialing up on the internet what to do when a kid swallows a goddamn penny.
Yeah.
That's going to happen.
Right.
You just let them shit it out. You deal with it, you know? And I think that everything that you establish with your first child, the second child, you know, is somewhat a little more complicated because you're worried about the social aspect of the other child. Are you giving enough love? Are you showing enough attention? But at the same time, a lot of things that you worried about the first time around is going to be like jumping on that
bike.
That second, you're like, whatever.
That first time, I wouldn't touch his little umbilical cord stump.
Yeah.
I thought that was the grossest part of a little newborn baby. Now I'm just going to flick that thing right off and just be completely done.
There's things definitely that, like, you know, I'm a little OCD. I'm a little bit of a germaphobe. So my first child, I was super germaphobe. Now I just don't care anymore. Like, it actually, having three kids cured my germaphobia almost.
Dude.
Like, I'm still, like, I won't touch a bathroom door handle.
Yeah, and it's probably other
things
people.
Like that.
Your own kids you don't care about.
No, right.
You're a germ.
But I used to be weird by myself, which is so weird.
I remember, this is one of these, like, you know how you have these, like, fragments of memories?
Sure.
Like, from, like, when you're three, and you're like, why do I remember that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I remember, must have been three, and I must have shit the bed or something like that. And I had a couple, and I was so I go to the bathroom, and there's like turds falling out of my pants. And I remember my dad,
little bunny beans. Yeah,
my
bunny beans,
literally picking up a turd of mine and putting it in the toilet. And even at that age, I was like, this guy loves me. Like, he just picked up my own shit and put it in the toilet for me.
You're like, I'm with that guy.
Yeah. And guess what? If that would have happened right now, that would totally not faze me whatsoever. Mm-mm.
My wife does that for me.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
No.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
That's one of the things too. But also, you find yourself not caring about certain things. Like, if my first child, if my oldest daughter, when she was a baby, was like standing on top of the dining room table, singing, I'd be like, "Oh my God, get down!" Now my third one, little fire cat, I'm like, Jason, look at this girl.
Look at this show.
She's hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, she's over here standing on the table singing, and it's adorable. And it's like, oh, get down.
I think you only have so much fear and worry to dole out, and you start to have to be more efficient with
That's
your
true.
Worrying,
you,
if that makes any sense.
The phrase that I love in life and in parenting is that you have to choose your willows and your oaks. Is that there's certain things you can only pay attention to that really is like your oak tree, things that you're solid about, that you have to like take care of or correct them.
Yeah.
And then there's those things that kind of blow in the wind, and you're like,
it's picking your battles.
It's picking your battles.
See,
willows
me,
and oaks.
For me,
like if my son's picking his nose and eating it, and I'm like, whatever, this baby over here is about to drink a can of beer. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I got to stop one of them. It's like, whatever.
But see, for
pick
me,
your nose.
Willows turn into oaks so very frequently. I'll be like...
You will learn to just not care about certain things.
Like, I'll be like... we'll be having dinner, and he won't drink his milk or something like that. I'll be God. You got to drink the milk.
Oh, shit.
And then that's a willow. And I know that's a willow.
Yeah.
But it becomes the oak of, he's not listening to me. And yeah. So then I'm just like, well, you got to listen
to me. Oh, you're
disrespecting. Like,
what's he going
to
do when he's 16?
Yeah, you're disrespecting the office.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't take that. Yeah. I mean, merits.
And we went through that hardcore with my son these last 2 years. You know, I joke about that, you know, people talk about
having this teenage boy.
People talk about the terrible twos.
I ask him questions about this.
Yeah. It's not when they're 2 years old. It's going to be a 2 year span at some point where this son of a bitch is going to go off. And he was 15 to 17. And now, you know, he's leveled off. He's bubbling up here and there, but he's got more focus. He's you see a maturity that's happened to him in a very short span of time. Man, it was 2 years of holy hell. But we got off easy with our daughter. Our daughter was very easy to get through that teen stage.
Well,
there wasn't
lucky.
An influx of boyfriends or nothing crazy like that. It was pretty much all under control.
Because in my experience, from what I've known about teenagers, is that with teenage girls, you have to worry about them being a raging bitch for about 2 years. And with teenage boys, you have to worry about them being a absolute idiot for 2 years.
Like
no decision making skills whatsoever.
None. They don't.
But like,
know, yeah, it's there's no thought. There's no
no
there's no forward
going
thought.
On,
there's
right.
no if I do this, the chances are that this or this could happen to me. Nope.
And,
they're just I'm doing this.
And maybe,
it's just like yes, I will put my dick in this fire.
Well, that's
like
what,
they don't care.
I remember I don't remember exactly what I did, but I got in trouble, and my dad just goes, "Why did you do that?" And I was like 17. And I was like, I didn't have an answer. I didn't know why I did it. I was just like, I don't
there's
know.
No cause
why
I felt like there's it. No cause or effect. It's
but I wonder, are we putting too much? Are we letting guys off the hook? Because you know, I'm saying girls are bitches at that age. But is it possible that that's not intentional? Either they don't know what they're doing, and that we're being I'm being too soft on guys.
Well, from what I know about having a degree in childhood development, girls are different, you know, chemically. Like they're a little bit different chemically.
Sure.
So you know, their lapse in judgment comes from, you know, their emotions and their, you know, their development. But it also is the same exact thing with the guys. It just might manifest a little bit differently.
You know what I mean? That's one thing that I always think is hilarious is that everybody always remembers is like, oh, I remember high school. Is like that was the good old days. And don't get me wrong, like I had fun. But do you remember like the important? I remember one time I like cried because somebody else had a jacket that I had, and because I love this jacket, I thought it was an Adidas 3-stripe, you know, thing. And someone else came to school with that jacket, and I wouldn't wear it again. You know, and I was like devastated. Yeah. I was like, that's being a teenager. So cut them some slack. Like that was the most important thing in my life at that point. And I didn't know how to handle that.
Yeah. I think that for me, I went through a phase where it was just like, man, I fucked him up. Like he was making mistakes and I'm sitting there looking in the mirror going, and then you start thinking, you're like, oh shit!
Because you could have nipped it in the bud.
Well, that's the thing
too. You start
too,
thinking
where,
that because then you're sitting there going, I did the same thing.
Right. And I sit here as Jason's friend, and we're good friends. We know things about each other's families. We're close friends. Mm-hmm. So when someone like Jason will tell me about his teenage kids, and I'm like, what the? I'm like, Jason's a good dude. Like, Jason and Melissa are good parents. I'm like, oh, shit. We're good parents. Mm-hmm. Like, this is going to happen no matter what. You don't know. Like it's just gonna happen because it's their way of growing.
And then that takes it's you just back. The way that takes you back to your willows and oaks thing,
mm-hmm.
right?
You really, definitely.
Right.
Then you're worried about milk being drank. You're thinking about the kid shotgunning beers at 16,
right?
And you've got to sit there and weigh that out. And you also have to go back in your time because I went and did some stuff.
Oh yeah, so I did
you,
some
so you,
shit.
So you, but you have to take that out of your mind, especially when you look at my wife, who never experienced a life like that. You know, I start off a joke where I talk about where
in my life
two different worlds. My wife was raised by in a family with four priests and three nuns.
Yeah.
I was raised by bikers.
Yeah.
So how the hell were we supposed to come together and make upstanding human beings?
You know what?
If we're batting 50%, Jeff, we're doing okay.
Do you know what's the weird thing about that? Is that somewhere deep there, deep in that relationship, there has to be a common set of values.
Oh yes.
And that's the interesting social experiment there.
We,
what was the common set of values?
And we talk about it all the time because I was the dude that grew up in the projects that was a latchkey kid. My mom worked till 2 a.m. And, you know, my wife was Melissa.
Like,
she had a
great conservative family, church, all this. You know, it's like, so it's.
Well, that's what I.
You don't know how it's going
to
turn out.
And plus, I always say, like, you know, from going back to Jason's point about how are you going to, you know, teach your kids when you were in those, you put yourself in those same situations.
Right.
I always think that, and I think especially now, because when I first started college is when Facebook first got launched.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a photographic track record out there of every single mistake.
Yeah.
I remember there was a picture of me posing. I was drunk with like a gun that I was like holding to my head, like, you know, like, you know, like, so how in God's name am I ever going to
we'll find that thing right now?
Well, it's buried deep inside.
Oh, I'll crack that code, Jeff.
But what I'm saying is that
he'll find it for this episode release.
Yeah. But I felt like I had good, you know, values and stuff, and I still was a total absolute idiot.
That's for real going to be the photo for this episode.
Yeah. I think one of the things that I learned is being open with your teenagers, you have to be careful. And the reason I say that is because I was very open with both of my children on what I did, and so that I felt that I could talk to them about the perils.
On a real level, right? Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah. Right.
What you say can and will be used against you. In a lot of circumstances.
That's what I mean. Like, how do you not
become
a hypocrite?
Start at the top and
be a hypocrite.
Make everything bad.
Be a hypocrite. You were holding a gun to your head, you asshole. You don't want your son doing that. Don't tell him you did it.
Yeah.
Because he's looking and going, well, look how good my daddy turned out.
My kids ain't finding out nothing.
Yeah.
They're like, my daddy used to be a youth pastor. I'm like, yep, that's it. You keep telling yourself that.
I don't deal in regrets. I don't deal on looking back and saying, I wish I would have done this differently.
Right.
I dealt the hand,
and
now you roll with it, and you work through
those
things together.
And it's always, it makes
together.
You, absolutely. It makes you the person you are, too. And, and your wife knows that, and your wife knows, and, you know, your spouse loves you for who you are or whoever you have children with.
Yep.
And you just kind of roll with it, and you be a team. That's the key right there. You're
especially
a team.
Too.
God
yes,
damn.
You have to be a team. You cannot show weakness in front of them.
Can I tell you
or they will kill you.
My great, I think, my wife and I have maybe had, like, four, like, really big fights, and that's in a 7-year marriage.
Yeah,
so
I agree with that.
Good.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
I agree with that. My wife and I maybe have one big fight a year.
Yeah. So what we have, though, is, and this started with our first kid, is we call it the resentment meter.
Yeah.
And you always, so the gauge goes from 0 to 10, and usually if you are feeling like you're at an 8 or above, you tell the other person, like, hey, I'm at an 8 resentment right now, and then you flesh it out and be like, because I just cleaned the dishes, I just cooked, and now you're just sitting there playing on your phone, like, that's the kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's a little steam valve that blows it off.
Whoa.
You get to talk, and she was in social work, so she, you know, is very appropriate with the I'm feeling this, I'm feeling that, like that type of thing. And
well,
I swear
and
to God,
you used to work in HR.
Yeah. So,
you
there's a little bit of kid gloves there. But
well,
I feel like
if you look in section 3A of our relationship.
Yeah, this is the handbook. I don't know why we're even arguing about
this. The conkle contract.
But I always say that if there was, like, stats for marriage that was, like, you know, baseball stats, number of fights avoided should be a stat. That would be like,
oh, right.
Like,
yeah,
like,
right.
At times
right.
where you could, oh, I'm
saves.
Going in.
Saves?
Yeah, saves.
Oh, I'm a save leader.
Nope, like, I'm good.
I'm
like,
a save leader.
This is not worth a fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always talk about reading the room with my son. Like, I learned how to read the room when it came to the house, whether it was with my daughter or with my wife, and my son still can't read the room. Like, he's dropping things to her on Easter Sunday, and I'm looking at him and go,
I don't get it. What do you mean?
In other words, you have to know what you can get
you
into
can get
at that moment.
Oh,
you
have to understand.
Like, are they in
where
the mood to? Well, that's
that's like
when I come home from a show at midnight and my wife was around and wants to talk about this bill.
gotta yeah. do it.
And I'm like, gotta, I will punch your teeth out right now. Are you kidding me right now?
Yep. But you have to go.
Or it's like you'll be in the stages of love, like love making. It's like, you know, I was talking to my mom yesterday about our mortgage interest. And I was like, my wiener is out? You cannot be talking about mortgage interest right now. You know what I mean? Like,
there's few things less sexy than a balloon loan.
Yeah. On that note, balloon loans and wieners, I'm going to take a real quick break and give a shout out to two of our sponsors. One is Dadgear, dadgear.com. Dadgear sent me a lot of dope things.
Dope,
including the Dadgear backpack that my wife is obsessed with. She wears it every single day. It has so many pockets in it.
Goddamn gadgets. You like Batman with that thing.
Dude, I'm finding a different pocket every day. Mm-hmm. There's a different pocket every day. It's like MacGyver was a dad and was like, I'm going to make some upgrades to this.
Yeah.
It's like the whole A-team was like, they took a normal backpack and they made it into a dope backpack with like bazookas on it and stuff. Yeah. You remember how they would take a bulldozer? Anyway, that's what Dad Gear does. And then they also gave me a messenger bag that is incredible. And they have wipes. You pull out a flap that has wipes. It has a
wipe flap.
A wipe flap. Mm-hmm. A wipe flap. That sounds so gross.
It does sound
gross.
You're
like, ew, get off my wipe flap. Jason's rocking the vest. Dude, they have a fleece vest, Dad Gear has, and it has a changing pad in the back of the vest you pull out.
You reach behind your back, Jeff, and you...
Boom.
Changing pad.
So are you walking around like a Ninja Turtle the whole time?
Yeah, bro.
You're a badass dad. No.
You can't even sell.
No, you don't know.
It's concealed?
It's concealed. You could have your dad weapon and your changing pad all in the same vest.
Wow. Yeah. And when you graduate out of diapers, flask.
Yeah. But, go to dadgear.com. All dad gears are made in the USA. They're built to last, and you're going to be super organized. They're for moms, too. They're not, you know, like I said, my wife.
They have some new products they're developing, too, that are coming out soon, too.
Yeah, it's incredible. And then our other shout-out, our friend Jason's going to tell you about Mary Mac Bakehouse.
Mary Mac Bakehouse. Oh, big fan. Oh. Love her stuff. She comes to our shows. She brings baked goods.
Yeah.
If you listen to the dad bod.
But she delivers all over the country.
She does. She ships all over the place. Baking mixes. Some of them are actually regionally themed.
Yeah, she names them goofy stuff. You know, speaking of Pittsburgh Penguins playoff hockey, she'll have like a Sidney Crosby, like, you know, cake mix or something.
Yeah. It's, Yinzer mix is one of them, which is a Pittsburgh thing. So, but no, you have to go ahead and check her out all across all the social medias. And at MaryMacBakehouse.com. Yeah. We'll have that in the information liner. You can find her on Facebook. You're on Twitter at MaryMacMixes. Instagram, the pictures. Just go and look at her pictures.
Yeah, go look at the food. On there.
The cinnamon rolls is what she's always, what she's known for.
Oh, my God.
30 seconds in a microwave, get them nice and warm.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
God,
unbelievable.
It's so really good.
We ate them for Easter morning, and they were unbelievable. Yeah,
I sent her a message the other day. I seen a bakery that did a cinnamon roll baked inside of a donut, Jeff.
Yeah.
And I said,
and she said she's going to do it.
I tweeted at her, and I said, if you get this straightened out, Aaron and I will do something very special
for
you.
We'll do a full episode on this.
You iron out the logistics of this
we'll invite every dad we know.
It was like the turducken of baked goods.
So yeah, check out Mary Mac, Mary Mac Bakehouse, and she has a podcast, a cooking podcast, MaryMacPodcast.com.
We're going to have to do that.
So check out Mary Mac, and also check out dadgear.com. And if you want to see comedy, if you want to see us do comedy, as of today, the release of this podcast, I am at the Looney Bin in Wichita, Kansas next week. I'm at the Looney Bin in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And then, I'm moving into a new house, so I'm taking a couple weeks off. And then we get back to the stand-up Get Down at Arcade Comedy Theater in Pittsburgh on May 26th. What's that?
No,
I was like, you scared me. And then I'll be in Tampa and doing some other things. Yeah. Anything, Jeff, do you have anything going on?
I got just this weekend's the WDV Loaded show.
So yeah, that's
great. It was a great show.
It was an amazing show.
I mean, it was incredible.
I heard really
they carried
good
you out. They yeah. carried you out yeah. on their shoulders
when
singing
they dump, when they dump,
for He's a Jolly Good Fellow.
There's a lot of industry people there. I actually got a sitcom deal.
Did you?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it's going to be on the WB 13.
It's called Time for Two.
Yeah.
That's what it's called, Time for Two. So, yeah, let's get back briefly. So, Jeff Conkle.
Button it up.
Comedian and dad. He is having his second child. Do you have any other questions
for the dads.
For the panel.
How about just logistical things? Like,
oh.
Okay, so these are going to get real specific. So baby...
I got you.
So my son sleeps great through the night right mm-hmm. now. So no. Does a baby crying, will that wake up a two-year-old? I've heard no pretty resoundingly, but I find that hard to believe.
No, not really.
But then again, wouldn't that be very case-specific?
It would be very case-specific. I mean, I know that, like... I know a friend of mine who had a really colicky second child, and the first one pretty much had to, like, sleep in another room. Like, had to sleep with the parents.
Oh, are you going in the same room, or they're going to have separate
rooms? No, they've got separate rooms.
Okay, okay.
Well, that's not bad.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think you'll be fine.
I think you'll be okay. Yeah, that shouldn't be too bad.
I'm a little worried about that.
Then again, I mean, you know, he could be popping out like, Mommy, Daddy, what's going on? You know.
That's what I'm most worried about.
But he gets used to it. He'll get used to
it. My son is a very sweet boy, like he has a ton of empathy, so whenever he sees babies crying, like you can see him start to tear up just because he's like, what's going on here? I just don't like, I think that's going to be,
I think
it
goes
on
with the prep work you were talking about too, where you were prepping him.
Yeah,
you know,
you'll
it doesn't
get used
mean
to
he's
it.
Hurt it's you know, that's their way of, you know,
right,
you know, you can
you'll get used to it. I mean I even say on stage, it definitely feels like, well, the second one comes out and sees the first one, and they just form this alliance, and they're like, let's blow everything up. Like, they just know. They know how to function as a team immediately.
Well, we did find out that we're having two boys, too. So we have a boy. We're going to have another boy. So we just found that out.
We're not cutting a cake? You could have cut a cake. Why didn't you bring a goddamn
cake? Why didn't you do that?
You should have brought a cake. Even we could have pretended
that you brought a
cake.
I should have got a Mary Mac jelly donut and filled it with blueberry goop or something like that.
And I bit it. I'm like, well, damn, I'm a boy.
Oh, there's a baby boy in my mouth. Oh, that didn't sound good.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Jeff is a disgusting son of a bitch.
But
I think that I'm... First of all, like, my son is in, like, the 98th percentile for height. He's going to be bigger than me. He's well, my wife is 5'11", and my father-in-law is 6'5", 280.
Wow.
So, basically what I'm saying is that by the time this kid's 14, he's going to be able to physically beat the shit out of me. So now, I have another one coming, and I'm my only strategy up to this point is basically do what my dad did, which he never really got physical with us at all, but what he did do is... intimidation.
Oh. Yeah.
He would destroy inanimate objects. Like, he'd rip, like, a cabinet off the wall or, like, like put his foot through some drywall or something like that. So basically...
I love this!
So basically what you do is you're like, well, you know, he just punched through some plate glass. Like, what? Imagine what he would do to me. And that's
imagine
all you
what
need,
he would do
that's
to my face.
That's all you need to instill.
John Heffron does a bit on that. Growing up, one day his dad goes ape shit and breaks every door in the house. And here, he goes, the magic of it was... he had all the doors to be replaced that were all sitting downstairs. He just wanted,
he just wanted
a point.
To do it. Yeah.
He wanted to show them who
oh
was boss.
God.
He destroys
so
every
funny.
Door in the house.
So funny.
But he was already removing the doors.
He was just waiting for his kids to get mad, and then he's like, oh, yeah. Boom. Starts punching, kicking holes through doors. Be like, oh, my God.
Oh, my God. It's
my dad is
story.
The scariest, toughest person alive, and I will listen to everything he says.
My kids and my wife referred, it was the dad voice.
Yeah, that's for me, too.
My register
that's
would drop, and it would be, and, like, you felt it. Like, other kids would stop moving because it's happening. But then they figured me out.
Right, they know it's inert.
That's when he said about them being a team. Yeah. That's when the oldest went to him and go, you know, he ain't going to do shit.
Yeah, that's you. Mommy talked to him for
my
two
kids
years.
Now,
yeah.
They're still young. I mean, I could yell at my son right now. Watch. Here we go. Watch it.
Jeez.
What time is it?
It's bedtime.
What time? Oh,
it's
they're
bedtime.
In bed. Oh, my God.
It's
they're
bedtime.
Sleeping.
My God.
They're sleeping.
Wow, that was almost disastrous.
I know.
That was almost me and Jeff crawling out the window.
It's so funny. Because if I would have been like, Luke. Yeah. Like, if I would, he, you hear. What, Daddy? Like, at the top of the steps.
Yeah, that's what I want.
Like, start early.
Start with the verbal intimidation.
Dude, don't listen.
Call him pussy and when he pisses his pants or something.
Maybe you should show him the gun picture.
Yeah, here's the thing.
If I was willing to do this.
What people don't understand is that you start forming your child's personality and manners at like one.
Yeah.
Between the ages of one and four, that is who, I mean, a lot of it is kind of who that person is. I mean, you're setting them up. And so,
isn't that depressing?
Whether
like,
your kids
your
have manners,
years?
Whether your kids have manners, the way they treat people, the way they speak.
The respect level. I mean, that was my end game
really...
for everything. You know, and I talked about my son being a handful and things like that. Bottom line, he is always respectful.
Yeah.
He always shows respect to every individual. He knows how to walk up to a person. He'd meet you right now, shake your hand, look you right in the eye. It's a pleasure to meet you. That's the that's the kid I wanted.
My
kids,
say please and thank you. Yeah, like, absolutely.
But is it because you told them that that's what they should be doing, or is it because you modeled that?
Both.
Absolutely both.
I see.
Both.
I would venture to say that you get a lot more of modeling those behaviors if they see you saying thank you. Absolutely. Receiving something.
Oh,
it's much better than saying, like, you need to say thank you. Yeah, after that, you're being gonna be like,
yeah,
you know.
Then you're being a jack off. The next guy. No. Right. I mean, that's bullshit. No, you're going to, you're going to be who you are for them, and that's what you want them to be.
Right,
that's,
right.
That's I always heard this great, I don't know why this is germane to this conversation, but I heard that I used to work for a guy, and it was on Valentine's Day, and he said that his, he said that he always gets flowers. He had a son and a daughter, and he said he always gets flowers for his wife and his daughter. And I was just like, why do you get it for your daughter, too? And he said this line that I thought was corny at the time, but now that I think about it, I was like, this is a great line. He said, because I want my son to see how a lady should be treated, and I want my daughter to know how a lady should be treated. And I was like, man, that's some deep stuff right there.
There is a ton of knowledge in that. I would take my daughter out on, we would go out on a date.
Yeah.
And I would take her out to dinner and I would make sure I, you know, listen, pass that, whatever we're doing now, I would hold the door for her.
Yeah.
Like that's, if someone is not showing you that in her, we've been blessed with her boyfriend. The guy, he's been in our family now for a couple of years.
But.
Very blessed because he's that
guy. Would she have even gone through that, like, would he have even got through that filter if he wasn't great? Because the bar was set very high.
True.
No,
that's
She did have one that was, he was a son of a bitch. And then one day.
Well, you got to go through a couple of those.
And she had to balance out where she was at with her emotions and who she was and going through that change during her life.
Rebellion,
and then one day she just snapped and said, wait a minute.
Yeah.
No. He's not treating me the way he's supposed to be treating me. And he's gone. And so there is a lot to be said about the example, especially with a daughter or, important, your son. I mean, my son knows how much I love my wife.
Yeah.
Oh,
knows
of
how much I respect women and how much I show that love. And it's important for
him. I think sometimes I'm a little too hard on my son when he makes my wife upset. But he knows it.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that that's not how you treat your mommy.
Yeah.
That's not how you treat girls. That's not how you treat your sisters. And I love that he's in the middle of two girls. I love it. Because, you know, some people are like, oh, no, you got it. I'm like, no, man. He is surrounded by great women who he will learn how to be a gentleman.
Yeah.
And he, man, if he does something wrong to my wife, if my wife gets mad at him,
and they will, they will.
And I walk in that room, he looks at me like, "Oh, fuck!" Like he knows, I love that he knows to treat his mother with respect.
My dad used to, whenever I was in my teenage years, right in middle school, right around eighth grade, I think that was probably the biggest turd on, you know, in my time span. But
me
I remember
too.
My dad would, if I would mouth off to my mom, he would say this great line. He'd be like, "What'd you just say to my girlfriend?"
Mm-hmm.
And it was real. Like
I say
like,
the same thing.
It was like real, like it was like James Dean back in the 50s. Like we're gonna rumble right now. Like would
that's
you just say
so
my
funny.
Girlfriend? And he by saying that it was his girlfriend, it took mommy out of the equation. Like she's not your mommy. She's my girlfriend. You can't talk to her like that. And I was like,
I say to my son,
I go,
that's my lady.
Yeah.
I said that's my girl. You don't talk to my girl like that. I've said that to him.
And you know, I went through that recently. Where my son, again, he's struggling, and I would talk to Aaron about it, and I had that conversation with him. It no longer was, you don't talk to your mother that way. It became, you don't talk to my wife that way.
Yeah, dude.
Right now, no man can walk up to my wife
you
in any situation, and there's been situations that I won't talk about for other people to listen to, where I've stepped up and said, I'm going to go to prison tonight because I'm going to you talk to my wife, I will snap the shit out of you.
Well,
now we're getting pumped. So now we're getting pumped.
So what was he?
You guys want to join a dodgeball league?
16, usually right around when this was happening.
Yeah, it was within this last 2 years.
They start
span.
To need a little dose of reality.
Yeah.
And if that's how you're going to talk to somebody on the streets.
You're going
to
get reality.
You're going to get
man.
Reality.
Yeah. Don't play.
I might have the arthritis, but I don't fight fair. I don't fight fair.
Yo, I'll pick up a brick
I
on
will
you,
hit
son.
You with a 2x4 and not worry.
I will be a son of a bitch. We will be the son of a bitch of the show.
Son of a bitch. We're your son of a bitch.
I will be here. The... Jeff is...
He's
ooh,
ready.
Boy.
He's ready.
He's ready for two son of a bitches to roll into the world.
Well, this is the good thing, is that I worry so much about everything that I pretty much have every contingency covered already mentally in my mind. Like, anything horrific that could happen, I've already imagined and fleshed
well,
out into its biggest entirety.
So the
and...
follow-up episode will be December?
Yeah.
With Jeff?
Yeah, you can throw all that bullshit away, because none of that's going to happen.
Shirt, I know.
His shirt's so nice and pressed.
I know.
Look
at you.
You're so
you
cute.
Still iron clothes? That's adorable.
I got brown shoes on.
Oh, you're going to be... You're going to be wearing East Spirit loafers to work because your feet hurt.
Yeah. The Velcro.
Oh, my gosh.
Good time.
That was good
that was
times.
Fun. That was fun.
Oh. There's no son of a bitch here except Jeff's second child,
just
really.
Three dads yeah, getting together right. And kicking knowledge.
Three dads getting together kicking knowledge? Is put that a new
it,
yeah. Show?
Put it on a t-shirt.
Hashtag dad crate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, before we get out of
let's
here,
throw that one last
let
time.
Me throw this out of here real quick, and we're going to be done. This is so you can win stuff. Don't turn it off. You can win a prize. Go on any of our social medias and type in hashtag dadcrate, and Jason and I will pick a winner for the month to win a dad crate from us. You don't know what's going to be in it. I don't know what's going to be in it.
Oh, you guys love putting together the gift, the whole gift bag.
Oh, it's the best. Oh, it's the best. So we're going to send one person a dad crate, and it's going to be awesome. I can guarantee you that, because we overkill sometimes.
We do.
And we'd be like, but what about this? You got to put this in the dad crate. And I'm like, you're right. Well, now we got to get another bigger box for the dad crate. That's probably what's going to happen. So hashtag dad crate on any of our social medias. Visit dadgear.com and marymacbakehouse.com. And Jeff Conkle is a son of a bitch.
I am.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.